Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to share with you a conversation I had with Jeffrey and Jamie Downs. They are the co-authors of the great new book, Streaking, the simple practice of conscious, consistent actions that create life-changing results. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into and dig into. This is all about incremental change, building brick by brick, day after day, through the process of streaking. And no, not that kind of streaking. This is about a practical, step-by-step approach to gain mastery over whatever it is you're trying to improve in your life. And so that's what we do in this conversation. We unpack the meaning of streaking. We talk about the power of it, share some stories about how they got into it, as well as the power it has had in their lives and others. And I'm going to tell you right now, I did a while ago an episode of my top five productivity books. If I were to stretch that to the top 10, this would be in there. So you're definitely going to want to pay attention to this one. This is a great conversation with Jeffrey and Jamie Downs. Well, this week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Jeffrey and Jamie Downs. Welcome to the show.
Wow. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. We're looking forward to it.
So, you know, we pre-recording, you're familiar with the show, which is always nice to hear that a guest has actually listened, because I get so many pitches from people to be on the show. And most of them don't make it, to be quite honest.
Well, we are glad we made the cut because we are big fans. We love your show. Absolutely awesome.
In fact, we had to psych ourselves out because we're like, he's really great at this.
Yeah, I know. We had to psych ourselves up and go, okay, we can do this with him. We can hang with Eric.
Yeah. Well, that's on the record now, and I'm going to keep that in the show. So,
okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. I love the fact that, one, you wrote this book together and you're a husband and wife team. So we can definitely get some really interesting insights on this topic coming in. But you've got a book out, a brand new book, in fact, and it's called Streaking, the simple practice of conscious, consistent actions that create life-changing results. And of course, when people hear the word streaking, they think one thing. That's obviously not what this book is about. You wouldn't want to make that a habit, would you?
No, I'm on a mission to change people's idea of what streaking is. We're going to change it.
Across the world, it'll be a new definition.
It won't have anything to do with college or football or clothes or the lack thereof.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and then the other people, the productivity people, when they hear the word streaking, I think most of them probably think of Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yes.
And the story goes, I don't know that I've ever actually heard read in quotations, him saying this, but it's the idea that is attributed to him, at least, that he would on a calendar literally mark an X every day that he would consistently daily have written comedy, sat down, showed up, been productive, done his, ate his frog, in other words, that day, and then moved on to the next thing. Now, what's great is that it doesn't have to be as big as a frog when it comes to streaking. And in fact, before we get into the logistics of how streaking works and some of the deeper meaning behind it, I'd love for you to share, how did you stumble upon this tactic, this principle of streaking, and why does it mean so much to you?
Well, Eric, I have problems. Let's just go with that.
So do I.
One of the things so how did we stumble onto this whole thing? Well, for years, we've been trying to, do certain things on a regular basis, be consistent in particular areas. And in areas that of our life that would help. So, for example, just taking it right to the base level, I need to read more. One of the things that I do a lot of consulting. And in consulting, there are, I meet with executive teams and other people who have read a lot, and they bring up a book or two or three to me when I'm in those consulting engagements. And I either haven't read it or was not reading the book or whatever it is. And I thought to myself, I've got to figure out how I can get better at reading and just to keep up with what it was that they were doing. And so this, so that was kind of rolling around in our head. And then the other part of it was physical fitness. And it's interesting because physical fitness is a lot of times where people will hear about streaks or streaking or what those are. But Jamie and I, we always wanted to be healthy. I mean, we have seven children.
Yep. And they're a pretty big span. So seven, there's one all the way to seven. And there's a pretty big span of them. Our oldest is 26 and the youngest is 9. So we needed to stay healthy for a prolonged period of time.
So our chosen profession of healthiness was, I guess not profession, but
our chosen choice of how to stay healthy.
Of how to stay healthy was running. And what Jamie and I would do is we would sign up for either half marathons or marathons. We've run a few marathons. We would do smaller races and so forth. And there came a point where we kind of got tired of signing up for the race in order to keep training. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's kind of the John F. Kennedy where he said, I'm going to throw my hat over the fence and then go get it from my neighbor in order to meet my neighbor. We would sign up for races. That was throw our hat over the fence and then do the training to run the race.
But we reached a point where, and for me particularly, I had reached a point where I didn't have the same level of time to constantly be training for these bigger races. And honestly, I was a little frustrated that I had been running for so long and it was still sometimes a struggle to get myself out the door. That was my frustration. And so I was looking all of this in the back of my head thinking, how can I get better at running and not have it be such a struggle to get myself out the door without having to sign up for a race to get myself out the door? And so I was actually at the hair salon, getting my hair done, and I was waiting for it to activate. And I was thumbing through some different news articles, on my phone. And I was discouraged because everything was depressing and base, and I just was annoyed with it. And so I went to what I thought in the past that I'd gone to for conservative, kind of a conservative news site. And the very first article that popped up was couple streak running for 15 years. And this site was so, it's a more conservative site. I was shocked that this kind of story, and I was.
Can you imagine that, Eric? I mean, you come across a story like, what's going
on?
What
in the world? And
that's
it was
clickbait
so
right there.
It was. And that's exactly what I did, is I clicked on it. And I still get embarrassed to tell this story because I was like, yep, what is that all about? I got to find out. It was interesting, though. It was this beautiful story about a couple that had been streak running, which was they would run at least a mile every day, and they'd been doing it for 15 years. And that was just shocking to me that I thought, wow, that is amazing. And so at that point, I started thinking, I'm like, could I do that? Could I shift my focus from race or a personal best or distance to, could I just run at least a mile every day? I don't know. And that's when I called Jeff and I was like, hey, I just read this article about these streak runners. Do you want to go streaking with me?
I was like, absolutely. I mean, there was no question as far as that was concerned. And so we started a streak to run or walk at least 1 mile every single day.
And that was one of the inadvertent things that we did. When I first read that, I there was something inside of me that knew that running every single day wasn't something that I could necessarily maintain. And so we changed it. And I thought, I can walk at least a mile 6 days a week. And so our streak, the first streak that we set was, we're going to run or walk at least a mile 6 days a week.
So that's the first part of the story. The second part of the story is 300 days later. And to get that 300 days later, in other words, we had been streak run walk for 300 days. It was 300 days old. When I recognized that, like I told you, I have problems and another deficiency in my life that I looked at and thought, I've got to do something different about this. So let me just give you a little bit of background on this. I have really bad periodontal disease, which is basically my periodontal disease eats away at the gums and the bone of your teeth, and your teeth fall out of your head. And I had to get a couple of really expensive surgeries in order to repair that periodontal disease. And if you go to the periodontist or any dentist, with anyone that has periodontal disease, they will tell you, you need to do two things consistently every single day. And that is brush and floss. And I didn't like flossing. Now, brushing, I didn't mind because I like fresh breath. And Jamie honestly wouldn't be around me if I didn't brush. So that was okay. But flossing, that was where I just thought, I've got to do something different because I would. And this is where I got into the next part of, you know, why we're so passionate about streaking is I read, I don't know how many books on establishing good habits and what you can do to establish good habits. And I would do everything that was recommended in those books. I would put the floss in a place that I would remember. I set up the environment so that I would always be passing by it. I would have triggers and I would give myself rewards. And those are all kind of the different areas of habit, but none of it stuck. None of it made it so that I was flossing on a regular basis. And so I was continuing to have all these problems with my teeth. Well, one morning when Jamie and I were getting ready to go out on our run, it was the 300th run, and I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was asking myself as I looked at the floss next to the sink, what is my problem? Why can I not just do this thing? I know it costs me money. It costs me time. It's difficult. As far as the teeth are concerned, I don't like it. And my mind immediately flashed to a conversation I'd had with the dental hygienist a couple of days before. She said, you know, Jeff, flossing is like exercising your gums. You do it a couple of times a day and you'll have healthy gums. At that moment, I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, I've been running for 300 days straight. Why don't I just set a streak to floss my teeth? And so I did. I said, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of focusing on what it is that I'm doing, I'm going to focus on how long can I do it? And so the streak became floss my teeth at least 2 times daily. And Eric, that was 1,861 days ago. And I haven't missed at all.
Wow. I will tell you that I also, as well as probably the other three people in my family, when it comes to flossing, that has been a weakness. The thing for me, and I haven't done a streak with it, but the one thing that I have done with it is my dental hygienist said, oh, I use this thing. It's called the shower flosser. And again, that sounds weird and of itself also, because you're flossing in the shower, but it's literally a pipe thing that you connect in between the shower head and the water pipe. And then you just turn the pressure, the little, dial, and then it shoots water through that. And so it's become part of my shower routine to use that water pick flosser in the shower. Cause it's like, well, I'm showering basically every day. And so I'm at least doing it then. So, I guess I could guess at what my streak would be. It's probably been a good 300 plus days now since I got
it. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
But now I don't even think about it. It's just that's the next thing. It's, it's shampoo, rinse, repeat, floss, et cetera. I can relate to both these things. So I feel like you're saying that a lot of the habit forming, prescriptive, just best practices out there. There's been a resurgence of that recently with a couple of large named books. And you're saying that those didn't work for you per se until you had a perspective change on it. And moreover, it wasn't necessarily just a perspective change. It's that you'd already maintained momentum or had momentum going in some other place. I know somebody else at one point years ago on the show said that discipline begets discipline. And so having something, and we'll get into this later in terms of, recording your streak and the power of that. But it's because you'd already had a recorded streak that gave you the confidence to do another one in another area.
Just brought up such a great point. One of the things that we found in streaking is that the record is the record of your own credibility. And so the self-credibility goes up exponentially because you can look back and say, I have been absolutely perfect in that thing for this many days. So like, for example, with flossing, I know I have flossed 2 times a day for 1,861 days. And so the credibility goes through the roof as you start to look at it and really consider, I can be consistent. I can do these things because I want to go back to something you said about habit. And this was a kicker for us. We don't only believe, but we've seen it. Habit is this elusive thing that really is a myth. Habit is a myth. And I know there's a lot of books written on it and a lot of science that's done. But in actuality, real growth requires conscious effort. It requires deliberate, purposeful effort. It has to be something more than automatic. And I think that's where habit has gotten into the whole, all of our lexicon, is that it is this automatic thing that if I do it enough times, it will just become automatic. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that won't become automatic, like when I drive home from the grocery store or when I'm taking the boys to karate. Those are all just kind of on autopilot, if you will. But also, those aren't really part of my growth spectrum. I mean, those aren't things that I'm doing to grow. Habits are really about maintaining. And so I need them to be automatic, the habit. But there's something beyond the habit, which is the streak, which is really where you're in the growth zone. See, habits have become this thing where if I do it enough, there's two definitions of habit. Something you repeat on a regular basis and something that is automatic. And through time, people have started to merge those two things together. Well, if I repeat it enough times, it will become automatic. That's only true of a very few things. Most things require conscious, deliberate growth. And so that's where the streak comes in, and why we get very passionate about it, is because when we discovered or uncovered streaking and streaks and the laws of streaking, it opened up this whole new world to us that we thought we were just missing out on.
It changed. We started to look at it kind of like a tool belt. And we spent a lot of time I loved at the beginning when you said, how did you unearth this? Because I totally feel like that has been a perfect description of the journey that we've taken on this, is that we spent a lot of time looking at habits and why is a streak not a habit? Or why is a streak not a goal? How is it different? And we started to realize that each of these things are like tools in your tool belt. You've got habits, which oftentimes, I love the way Jeff describes it a lot, is when you fold your arms, you don't think about how you do it. When you tie your shoe, you're not consciously thinking about how you're tying it. Those things are habits in the sense of, by defining them, you do it without thinking. The other definition of something that you do repeatedly, what I had found is that I could set up routines, and as long as the routine was in place, I would do those things repeatedly. But if something happened that messed up my routine, then I didn't do it. And that's where I was becoming frustrated. And that's where the genesis of the streak really started to take place, is we're like, okay, there's these tools in your tool belt. You've got habits, things that we need to have that become automatic. We've got these things that are repetitive, and routines help us to have that repetitive nature in place. But I also am missing this one component, and that's where the streak came in. And as we've been able to recognize the power of that streak, it has been something that we've been able to use. Now that we understand where it fits in the lexicon, we've been able to use it in the proper way, and it's really opened up a vista of understanding.
Yeah, I think what you've just hit on, and I think this is maybe a great entry point for a lot of people out there who may still be confused between, you know, the difference between a habit and a streak, is that if your routine was broken, would you feel strongly enough that you still need to intentionally pause and take stock of, okay, my routine got messed up, now to get back to normal, What of my streaks, in other words, what of those things, what streaks, in other words, did I not do because the routine got broken that I now need to reconfigure? We've had snow here recently, and we had one or two different, you know, 2-hour delays where school still happened, but everything shifted. And since I drop both my kids off at school, my day has shifted. My work at home day has shifted.
Exactly.
And then, so I still had to then, okay, let's do hard reset for the day. What's most important? What things do I normally do at a certain time, and now I need to do them at a different time? But I have to be aware of that and intentional. That's not a habit thing. That's not just a roll right into regularity. It's being intentional. So
right. Exactly. And we had these, for me personally, I had these things that were important to me that I needed to be doing, but they weren't necessarily urgent, but I wanted them to be a part of my life on a daily basis. So for example, writing in my journal, that was something that I'd always wanted to have be a part of my life, but it's not necessarily urgent. And I don't particularly love writing. And so I didn't have that natural drive. And so trying to understand, how can I get this to be a part of my life? And that's where, as we started to develop streaking, so the three laws of streaking are: the first law is make it laughably simple. The second law is to keep a record of it. And the third law is to create a community. And when you follow these three laws, what you empower you, it's like you unlock the ability to be conscious and consistent. And then the consistency over time, as you are building up the energy behind this consistency, you unlock this thing inside of yourself that creates massive amounts of self-credibility. And that is what has been probably my favorite thing about my journey in streaking, is that as I follow those laws of streaking and set those laws around the things that I want to do, as I'm starting to do them consistently, I believe in myself. I'm like, okay, I'm doing these things. So, and the first law, keep it laughably simple, I mentioned we stumbled on that because when I first looked at this running streak of run at least a mile every day, even though I had been running for probably 10 or 15 years, I still knew that my life, as a mom of seven children, you have to accept disruption. It's just part of being a mom. And so I knew in my mind from past experience, I'm like, I can't guarantee that I will have the energy or the capacity to run every single day. And so when I evaluated and looked at it and said, okay, what could I do, when the emphasis is on being consistent, what I want to do here is consistently hold true to this every, you know, for whatever amount of time that I set, daily or weekly, what can I do? And so when I looked at it and thought, I can run or walk, give myself that walk 6 days a week, I made it simple enough for me that it was something that I could do even when life changed, whether that be my routine was disrupted for something, or literally sometimes the bottom fall out of life, that, you know, big things happen. That's part of life. Could I still maintain this consistency in that? So that was law number one, keep it laughably simple, because your point is to make it so that you can continue to do it in all of the events of your life.
You were saying you wanted to shift from training over and over and over again for all these races. And, you know, you had an end goal in mind. You were training towards a goal of performing well in those races. I wonder then, while making it laughably simple and choosing kind of that baseline of this is something that can consistently be done and streaked, are we aiming towards a higher goal or an end game?
What I, you know, I love, such a good question. Such a great question, Eric, because we had similar to that question is, are you streaking just a streak, or is there something beyond that that you're aiming to do? And this brings me back to where I started and talked about a little bit about my profession as far as being a consultant and reading and what I needed to do to read. Also the running streak. So let me talk to both of those. We had a challenge from a friend in the early drafts of the manuscript. I had friends reading the manuscript and we would, you know, get their feedback and so forth. And one particular friend, his name is Randy, he gave us some pretty hard feedback. He asked us, he said, well, it seems like you're just streaking to streak. It doesn't, you know, this won't really do anything.
What's the point?
What's the point? And really gave it to us hard. And so Jamie and I set aside, and then he did one thing that was really challenging. He said, look, if I wrote a single sentence every single day, I'm an idiot, it would have no impact on my life. And at that moment, I looked at that sentence and I thought, oh, that would be hugely detrimental. If, I mean, just think if you were writing that every single day. And so at that moment, it was the next kind of epiphany. I thought, well, what if I'm writing? Why am I doing these streaks? What is it that I'm doing? Who do I want to become as I do these streaks? And that is where we formulated what we call a B statement. For example, I want to be of service to others, or I want to be a thoughtful, educated mother, or I want to be a active, involved father, or I want to be a excellent sales professional, or you name whatever. I mean, whoever you want to be. And so like you, the end state, if you will, is more the aspiration of who I want to be. And then I line up my streaks behind who I want to be. So back to the running and also the reading. So with running, we didn't want to be professional marathoners. We didn't want to be professional long distance people. We just wanted to be healthy and fit. And what we chose to do in order to be that person was to walk or run at least 1 mile daily. In my professional life, I wanted to be a professional who was educated and knowledgeable with the most current things that were out there. And so I started to look and say, well, what is the streak that I need to do? What do I need to do intentionally? Because again, reading is not a habit and it's not something that will ever be automatic for me, at least. It may be for someone else, but I don't think so. I think anyone that chooses to go in a path of growth, they're choosing to do it deliberately. And so what I chose to do, and this is in reference to the first law of streaking too, keep it laughably simple. I thought, okay, if I set a streak, what could it be as far as reading? I know that reading a book a week or a month is out of the question. Not going to happen. That's not laughably simple for me. I started to pare it down and say, okay, well, maybe I could read at least a sentence daily. And I thought, you know what? That's laughable, but maybe I could do just a little bit more. And so my laughably simple streak was what that I set to be more conscious and aware and also read a lot more is to read at least one paragraph in a nonfiction book daily. And when I did that, I thought at first, I mean, I was a little bit embarrassed to, you know, say that to anyone because it is so laughably simple. And honestly, that's usually what we tell is the telltale sign. If you're embarrassed to say your streak, then you know you've it's got probably it simple a good enough. One.
If you're proud of your streak and can't wait to tell people, it's probably too hard.
Yeah, no kidding. So read at least one paragraph in a nonfiction book daily. That was 1,763 days ago that I set that. And it's now that old. And I've read, I don't know how many books and gained how many insights and how many different things. And that's the second part of this is, so not only am I aiming to be who I want to be, it's also, you have to suspend your disbelief that something so small and so simple is going to make such a big difference. But it does. It's amazing, Eric. I sit back and I still get blown away.
Still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search, just match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch that busy work. Instead, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. I wish I had Indeed when I was in the hiring process in roles in the past because it is a slow, arduous headache of a process to find the right people. Or, at least it used to be, join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to find and hire great talent fast. In fact, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you enjoy Beyond the To-Do List, I invite you to check out Best Laid Plans. I'm Sarah Hart Unger, the host of Best Laid Plans, a podcast devoted to all things planning and planning adjacent. I talk about everything from paper planner reviews to deep dives into all things productivity. From keeping track of goals and tasks to fitting in your true priorities and reducing the stress around planning and organizing across different areas of life. I am a practicing physician and mother of three, so I have a lot going on in my own life and am intimately familiar with the time constraints that impact us all. And I love sharing my own productivity strategies and learning from others who have their own ideas to share. I invite you to check out Best Laid Plans, available on all podcast platforms, or visit my website, theshoebox.com. THESHUBOX.com to learn more.
We live in a society that is very focused on the outcomes, and outcomes are important. And when we look at goals, a goal is very much, you've got to get to that outcome. So I set a goal to run a marathon. I'm going to start here. I'm going to train for this long, and I'm going to run the marathon and literally cross a finish line. That is what a goal is. And I think sometimes we forget, or maybe not forget, it's harder to understand how valuable the inputs are. And we haven't had a system that helped us be able to actualize putting input in. And that's what I've loved about streaking, is that streaking changes the focus from the output to the input. You're focusing every day on what you're going to input. And when you do that, there's a lot of the outputs that take care of themselves that happen naturally. So when Jeff talks about suspending disbelief, it is very, very hard to set a laughably simple streak because we don't believe it's going to make a difference. We don't think that it's going to make any difference at all. But what happens is that when you are consistent in something, it does make a difference. And that's why when we talk about writing the streak, we always put in the at least. You can always do more. And I'm amazed at how often I do more in my daily streaks than what the streak is. It happens often. But I also love that the minute I do the laughably simple, I have succeeded in that streak. If I don't do more, it's okay. I've still won for the day. I've still communicated to myself that this thing that was important to me, I made happen today. And I did it yesterday, and I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
I've got to imagine that part of keeping it laughably simple or making it laughably simple is not starting too many streaks all at once out of the gate. That part of the power of building that confidence and self-confidence in adding in or stacking streaks comes from, one, making it small and simple and consistent over time and looking and seeing that not only have you been doing that long, you've now become somebody who has character, who has discipline, who can stick to it. I reference back again to the reading of the books and then the adding in the flossing or the running, walking and running and then adding in other things. So how do we keep from self-sabotaging right at the beginning when we want to stack? We want to stack everything. We want to start streaking all of the things.
Yeah,
because you get excited about it. Honestly, it's like it does unlock the door of this opportunity that for us it wasn't there. And so, speaking of that, and I get excited about it because that question right there we get asked quite often, and the answer is the laughably simple. Do the laughably simple, at least just one streak, maybe two, for at least 100 days. And when you do that, you start to recognize, and this was really from our own self-learning, we started to recognize that we could add another streak when we were comfortable that the streak that we had just added would continue forward. In other words, we had the self-credibility, which really plays into law number two, which is no record, no streak. In the record, there's a couple of things that happen in the record. In the record is the lifeblood of the streak. That keeps the streak wants to live. You all of a sudden feel it and have the desire to do it. The other thing that the record does is it's the record of your credibility. It's the record of you've done this for this many days in a row without fail. In fact, in the book, talk about Jerry Seinfeld. That is one of the areas that we talk about is that it's the record, because one of the things that he emphasized is he said, as you look at that calendar, every day you see a red X, what's happening in actuality is your confidence is growing as a comedian. You're realizing that I'm writing at least one joke daily. And that was his actual streak, right? At least one joke daily. And he looked at it and he was counseling an amateur comedian who, as that amateur comedian was asking about this, Jerry just said, look, your confidence grows so that when you get on that stage, you know, you've written jokes for 365 days or for 740 days in a row. That has a whole new power in and of itself. So as you go along this road and really strive diligently to keep the record, if you will, you'll know when the right time is to start the next streak. We found, again, it's right around 100 days is when people turn the corner in two ways. One, they start believing that the small really does work. I mean, we have a lot of streakers out there that say, when we hit 100 days and realize that we had done it that long, it all of a sudden opened up an opportunity for us to set maybe another streak and go forward from there. But that's when the confidence goes.
It's when you start to believe that you can be consistent. The other thing that's amazing is that the actual process of streaking teaches you patience. You can't do two-a-days often. You can't go faster. It literally is you do the simple act each day, and adding those acts together is what creates it. And so the process of streaking innately teaches you to be patient and to think about, okay, do I really want to do this? But in the process of thinking about it, you also know, okay, I know I can do this because I've had this other streak going long enough. So I believe that I can do this. And it gives you this confidence to set the new one, but tempered with the reality of I really need to do it. Like I'm truly holding myself accountable to this commitment that I'm making just to myself. And that's where I really think so much of the power is that we make these commitments to ourselves, these small, simple things that we're going to do because they're important to us. They are what we've taken the time to think about who we want to be. And now through streaking, we have a way to actualize that. And as we do it, we recognize the power that comes as we've kept these commitments to ourselves, which tempers that desire to want to fix everything at once. And it helps us to realize, you know what? Progress is sometimes slow, and that's okay, because the slow progress also sticks. It's true to what I really am actually becoming who I want to be. And I'm doing that one day at a time, and that takes time, but I'm also building this level of credibility and confidence in myself as I do it.
I've come to think of each of those days in a streak as one more brick being laid.
Exactly.
So, you're exactly right. You know, it stacks.
And it's amazing to me because you stack it and you just kind of focus each day on the input. And then every now and then you step back and you're like, wow, look at what I've built. One brick at a time, literally. But it's amazing.
I'm assuming there's some sort of visual representation that works best, maybe for you, but in general, are you using, I mean, again, Seinfeld and his calendar is one way. I mean, I literally could see somebody hanging, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 calendars on a wall with a label yes. on each one for each streak and just going with that. What are some of the best ways that you've found work for you or others in terms of visually keeping this record?
That is so good. I actually started with a calendar. The same way, because it was so fun to have it in front of me and be like, okay, as I progressed a couple years into it, I realized that I had enough streaks that it wouldn't fit on the one calendar. And as you said, putting up in front of you would be fantastic, but that would take up a lot of room. And so I pushed hard from the beginning that I wanted an app.
Well, and so serendipitously, again, yes. I was explaining streaking to a good friend of mine, and I was just telling him about what it is that you do and how you do it. And he happens to own an app development company. And he said, I would love to do the app, the streaking app. And I said, okay. And so he developed this app. We call it Streaking. And in the app, it's this great visual representation of how long you've kept your streaks alive. So when I started, I kept mine in an Excel spreadsheet where I just marked off the X whenever I'd complete, you know, one or two of the, whenever I'd complete my streaks for the day. And that got cumbersome as well. And so now the application that's out there, it allows you to mark and see your progress and some really cool stuff that happens with that progress. But I wanted to go back to one other thing as well. One of the things we found is children and streaking, they love streaking. They love the visual streak. They love to see the chain grow around their room, or they love to see, you know, the calendar, the stickers on the calendar. Yeah. They love that type of streak. Our children, you can imagine they're streakers in a sense, but they have of their own accord set some different streaks. Like, for example, our son, Chance, who is 9 years old, he set a streak to do at least one karate move daily. He's working toward his black belt, and he said, and he hit 100 days about 2 weeks ago, and at his karate studio and everything, they celebrated, he broke a board and all this great stuff. But that visual reference of the record allows you to celebrate. And that's, you know, the record. Another thing that it does is this whole celebration, the aspect of celebration. Really love that. But the app is really where we keep all of our streaks now.
And it's been great. And it's continuing to develop as we go. But the way that it's been set up, I love it, because you're able to put in your B statement. Who do I want to be? Why am I doing this streak? And then you put in your streak, and then each day or week, you're able to just push. We use it as a honeycomb, kind of the honeycomb, because of who I want to be. But you're able to push this honeycomb, and it gives you a little animation that says, yay, you did your streak for the day, which is funny, but it totally I have grown to really love that little boost of celebration every time I do my streak. And then the other thing that's wonderful about it, so you've got your B statements and you can divide your streaks into these different places of who you want to be. And then we're working diligently. We have right now, and it's going to continue to become bigger, a community where you can share the streaks that you have with friends and they can congratulate you and send you high fives and see how you're doing in your progress. And then they can share their streaks with you. And it just becomes this collaborative place where you are building and strengthening and learning from one another.
You were talking a second ago about celebrating. And not only do I think that that's powerful and a positive reinforcement of acknowledging a mile marker on the streak, if you will, but then also that celebration feeds into the external power of people being in a community around your streak and other streaks altogether.
Eric, that brings up one of the streaks that really set us on the whole power of the community. And what you say as far as celebration is concerned is so apt. There's a lot of times where people will say, well, it helps hold you accountable. And accountable is often a little bit of a heavy word. It's somewhat a deterring word because, you know, being held accountable seems like it's, you know, I'm looking after you, I'm watching after you. And what we really found is that the community is about the celebration, and the celebration of your core community, what we call the core community, or people that are right around you. And then there's the streaking community, people that share your same streaks. So you've got a core community and your streaking community, and those that share your same streaks, they celebrate with you as you keep going and putting your streaks together. So where we came across the whole thought of community is we had basically looked at law number one and law number two and recognized that, yes, we need to keep it laughably simple. That is how you keep the streak alive, is by keeping it laughably simple. And two, no record, no streak. And then we started to look around and say, was there anything else? And what we saw is that every streak we had researched existed within a community. And one of my personal favorite streaks happens to be Cal Ripken Jr. And Cal Ripken Jr., Major League Baseball, they call him the Iron Man because he played 2,632 games in a row consecutively, never stopped. Now, before him was Lou Gehrig, and he played 2,130 games in a row. And the night that Cal Ripken Jr. broke Lou Gehrig's record of 2,130, it was in Baltimore. Cal played for the Orioles when he was playing. The stands were packed. I mean, and this is quite a story, and I won't go into the whole thing, but baseball had struggled mightily because they had a strike and everything else. They were losing fans. And I will tell you that the streak of playing consecutively the games that Cal Ripken Jr. did, that was either the key or the thing that saved baseball and brought fans back. Because on the night that he went into the stands or into the stadium to play his 2,131st game, it was packed. There were over 47,000 fans. There were millions of people watching on TV. The president of the United States was there, all to watch him play a game that he had just now crossed the threshold of 2,130. And in the fifth inning, it was the top of the fifth inning when the streak kept alive and it actually counted as the real game. Here's the interesting part. This community of baseball, when the streak went past 2,130 and flipped over to 2,131, everyone in the stands stood up and started cheering for Cal Ripken Jr. Not only did they start cheering, they kept cheering. He made 11 curtain calls in order to get the game going. I mean, there was still a lot of game. The fans would not sit down. Finally, he went around the entire outside of the stadium, high-fiving everyone, thanking them, and enjoying the moment. The total applause time was 22 minutes. It's the longest spontaneous applause of any sport at any time, 22 minutes. And why? It wasn't because they were winning or won the game or won the World Series. It was because of one person's consistency. And that consistency brought the community together and the community celebrated with them. That's when we recognize that every streak lives within a community, be it two, Jamie and I, or 60,000 or millions, it doesn't really matter. The streak lives in the community because people celebrate with you.
Wow. So personal note, that hit me a little bit harder than I thought it would have, because I've seen Cal Ripken play a number of times for the Rochester Red Wings, the home team of the Orioles, where yes. I grew up. So
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow, that is so neat.
That is so neat.
Yeah, well, that streak is just one of my absolute, I love telling that story because it's so powerful. And it's where I recognized that there's winning streaks where you can win, but the consecutive streak, that is where the power is.
So obviously, there's a little bit of a downside or potential downside here for a lot of people. They've potentially done a streak before and then it breaks. The unintentional thing, the thing we're not talking about, the thing we're not aiming for, but can happen, is a streak breaks. And yep. How do, you know, obviously the question, follow up question to that is, how do you recover from a broken streak? And I've been watching a lot of a certain TV show based in the olden days. And there's a lot of drinking. And then one of the guys stops drinking and then starts going to meetings. And he did, get pulled back in briefly, but then said, nope, got to go to a meeting. You know, it was a one time thing. It was an accident, and gets back on. Which is it, on the wagon or off the wagon? I forget. But whichever one's the right one.
Right.
He gets right back on. Or off. It's on, isn't it? Fell off the wagon is a bad thing.
Fall off the wagon, yeah, and you get back on.
So you get back. So he gets back on the wagon. I envision that similar to what recovering from a broken streak would look like.
Exactly. And you ask such a good question. And I love the whatever show you're watching. That's a great example.
I'm watching Mad Men over again recently.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. There we go.
Yeah.
And so a couple things that happen when a streak is broken. The first thing I would recommend is you evaluate, did you make it too hard to start off with? Sometimes we get ambitious and we start a streak and you get into it and you realize, you know what? I thought it was laughably simple, but I need to make it even simpler. So
that's what happened with you.
I mean, I had a streak to watch a TED talk once a week. And I made it for about 5 weeks and then I lost it. And I started it again and I made it 3 weeks and I lost it. And I'm like, why can I not keep this streak? And what I realized is I thought, I guess I've made it too hard. And so I changed that streak to choose a TED talk to watch once a week. Again, with the mindset that sometimes when you're starting something new, getting it simple enough that you're adding it into your life takes time. And so that's okay. So the first thing, if you're breaking a streak, evaluate, did I make it too hard? Second thing that happens sometimes when you've broken a streak is it really something you want to be? Maybe you set a streak around something you thought was cool or you thought you wanted to be. And when you got into it, you realized, I really don't have any passion around this. And I guess I don't want to be this person. And that's okay. I think that's part of the value of streaking, is it helps me to recognize what things I really do value and what I'm really willing to put effort behind. And it's okay that I started thinking that something was going to be value that I wanted in my life, and to figure out, you know, nope, I don't. And that's okay. I think that's a valuable thing as well. The third thing that happens is that sometimes stuff just happens and you have a long streak and you lost it. I've had that happen a couple times. Some of them really long streaks, like over a year of reading to my kids, and something happened. We had company in town and I just missed it. And when that happened, it was, to be honest, it was slightly devastating, because
it was tough.
It was really tough. And I went through the process and evaluated, and I'm like, I love this streak. I definitely want to keep it. I can't make it much simpler than 5 sentences a day. I mean, it's simple enough. I just simply missed it. And so what I recognized is I took some time and I mourned that streak. I was sad I let myself be sad a little bit that I had missed it. But then I also took the time to look back and think, you know what though? For over a year, I have been doing this. Like, I was consistent. I actually have added this to my life. And so though I'm starting over, because I did start over with day one, I had a place to go to that I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And I'm going to surpass what I did. And in that process, it was an interesting thing, because that's where I learned the lesson that you can't do two-a-days. I had been at over 300 days, 365 days. I'd been more than that. And I wanted to get back to where I was. But that's where I looked at it and recognized, okay, once again, I'm focusing on the outcome. The purpose of keeping track is to give you that credibility, that recognition that you're doing it. However, what you're really wanting to accomplish here is to add this thing to your life consistently. And by keeping record, you know that you've been consistent. So instead of saying, well, I think I've done this, or I've mostly done it, question mark, you say, no, I know I've done this. And I know I missed a day. And I know I'm going to start over again. And I'm going to patiently continue to have this be a part of my life. And so inherent in the methodology of streaking, it also teaches you to be patient and to practice adding these things that require us to just do a little bit every day consistently, not something that we can binge and do a lot in and then be like, oh, I'm done. There's things in life that you just can't do that with.
There's a couple of other things that we learned in the broken streak. And that is, one, any streaks that are time dependent are usually streaks that are not that good.
We have
a couple of people that have time dependent streaks, and they do a pretty good job. But whenever you're, and what I mean by time dependent is, I'm going to read for 5 minutes, or I'm going to practice breathing or yoga or whatever for 15 minutes, or any of those things when it's time dependent, we find that that dependency has a negative impact on the streak. It's better just to say, I'm going to do at least one move in yoga daily, or I'm going to read at least 5 sentences daily. That gives you, it's almost as if as soon as you started the streak, you had success at it. And it seems a little bit odd to be saying that you haven't made it simple enough. I mean, we're almost saying like, look, you need to be a little bit more of an underachiever. but that's the key, is the achievement is in the consistency. So the other thing we look at is, when you've broken a streak, is look at the dependencies. In other words, if there's a lot of things that have to happen in order for you to complete that streak, you're dependent on a lot of outside or variables. You've got to back that one up a little bit and say, nope, I'm not going to be able to do that, and see where you need to go to as far as how simple it needs to be. Like, for example, if someone was, say, and let's go in health and fitness, because that's an easy one for everyone to visualize, I'm going to lift weights every day. Well, you have to have the weights in order to lift them every day. Now, if it makes sense in your life and you always have that, then that's probably good. Or you could set that type of a streak. If, however, you aren't going to have that, or there's going to be something, and most assuredly there will be, that sets that off, then really the streak should be, I'm going to exercise at least one time daily, something like that. So that now your dependencies aren't so significant that you're breaking the streak because you just can't keep it alive. Those are, so that the time streak and a lot of dependencies are there. One other thing that I found, and just to emphasize what Jamie said, it's, if it's not lined up with who I want to be, then I start to lose interest in it pretty quickly.
I think that's the thing for me, is when I've broken streaks, it's because I've either not been clear on how it fits into who I'm wanting to be. So the stacking and what I'm stacking it towards doesn't really make sense, or, right, you know, there's not anything there, or I've had maybe not a clear system of recording it, or not necessarily connected with community. And so then trying to recover from a broken streak almost just feels like a, well, doesn't really matter, or,
yes,
you know, it's just, you know, I don't pick back up there. That, or I, again, tried to start too many streaks all at once.
Got a great one there. Absolutely. And so as you look at those laws, as we develop them through time, you know, Jamie and I, it took us 5 years really to write the book, because we were experiencing it. It was our journey, and we wrote the book a lot like the journey that we took. And that is what we invite everyone to do, is start your streaking journey, is to go out there and say, who do I want to be? And what is the one or two things that I want to do consistently in order to be that person? And on the same note, it's kind of chicken and egg here, because sometimes we say, well, start with your B statement and line things up. But the other side of it is, you also can just start streaking and recognize what you like to do, and then realize who you want to be. And that's where you start to then develop a community around it, because you start to see people that are similar or having a similar streak. It's like, you know, when you bought the Honda Accord and you never realized another Honda Accord was on the street until you bought one.
Right.
Now they're everywhere.
Now they're everywhere. That's the same with streaking. When you start a particular area, you'll start to find the community. And to your point, that community just brings so much strength and so much fun. It's really great to be a part of it.
Yeah, man. Well, so for somebody who wants to jump into this, one, I want to send people to get the book. Where can they find out, one, more about the work that you're doing here, two, getting the book, and then three, the app that you mentioned?
Yeah. So our website is streakingmastery.com, www.streakingmastery.com. Can go there. We also have the Streaking podcast that publishes twice a week. And it's specifically dedicated to talking about streaking principles and application. So oftentimes we'll go into application. For example, this month we're talking about relationships and how streaking can improve your relationships. And we give examples of what that is. So that's the other one, is the Streaking podcast. And then to get the book, it's at Amazon. We also, in any indie bookseller, Barnes and Noble. And then the app is in Google Play as well as the Apple App Store, and it's Streaking. And if you type in Streaking, the app should come up. You should be able to go from there.
Perfect. And the app is great. It allows you to start with three streaks.
Yeah.
So that you get used to.
We purposely put a paywall in the app so that people would only do three, or we tried to just gently nudge them toward, look, three
just
streaks.
Start with three.
Just start with three. Don't
get
crazy. It's
free, and you can just start with three.
Yeah.
And then once you know, you can add more.
Oh, great. That's perfect. I love that you've kind of set it up that way. Well, Jamie and Jeffrey, it's been great talking with you. This has been an amazing conversation, really enlightening, really, really positively reinforcing a lot of what I think a lot of people already know, but feel maybe they've, you know, again, in all the talk about habits, they've learned something maybe incorrectly and can maybe fall back on streaking as a recovery for their own broken habits. So
yes. Oh, you just said something so amazing. One of the things I think about is people, the phrase is out there so many times of, well, I need to develop new habits. That is just false. You need to develop new streaks. Streaks are what you need to develop. Habits will fall out of streaks, which is great, how you do something. And streaks are what you stand on in order to reach for your goals. Because when you fail at a goal, you fall to the success of your streak. And when you succeed at a goal, guess what? You also stand on your streak to succeed at that goal. And so the streak becomes the thing that you are putting intentionality around, and it gives you intentionality to become who you want to be.
That's a great thought and a great closing statement. So again, Jeffrey, Jamie, great talking with you. And I will link up to everything we mentioned in the show notes for this episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. You are amazing. We love your show. Keep going.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Jeffrey and Jamie, and that I really enjoyed hearing from them about streaking and the power of it. And they got me more interested in it than I had been before. I mean, I was already aware of it to a point, but this takes it to a whole other level. I definitely suggest grabbing the book, and I'll link up to that in the show notes, which you can find at beyondthetodolist.com, or you can click on in your podcast player app of choice, wherever you're listening to this. While you're there, if you can think of somebody who needs to hear this conversation, do them the favor and do me the favor of sharing this episode with them. Hit that share button in your podcast player app of choice. Let people know about this episode and this conversation and this book and the power of it. And again, thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for listening. And I will see you next episode.